John Panos, John McGrath, Troy Malcolm, with our guest from last week, Jeremy Coe, who is a leadership coach. And Jeremy, last week we talked on dealing with rejection and reluctance, and how ego intertwines with everything that a real estate agent does. But I'd love to talk today, if we can, about self-confidence, integrity, and motivation, particularly. So, Johnny, can I ask you, have you seen in your time in real estate, have you seen someone that's been a low confidence person become a confidence person?
Yeah, I've seen a lot. In fact, Alex Jordan, I use the case study quite a bit. When I met Alex, he was writing in his eighth year, I think, Troy, he'd been in real estate. It could have been 12, but it was 8 or 12, one of those two numbers. He was running $380,000 after eight or 12 years. And I just said, man, I rarely met someone that I got more confidence can crush it. And, you know, I said, if you come on board, I'll guarantee you, I didn't use the word guarantee, but I said, I've no doubt I can get you to 2X your business, but I can get you to a lot more than that, in my opinion. Anyway, Jeremy, he's one of the best agents, probably the best in Australia. And he now writes 10 to 11 million a year. Anyway, so the beautiful thing is he does it with humility and calm confidence. But at some point along there, and he's often said it to me, that I believed in him more than he believed in himself. And that was a key. And I think in coaching, Jeremy, I'm sure you do this, and I think it's important for all of us, is that we need to transfer our belief in someone so it becomes their belief. Because I've rarely seen anyone outperform their belief in themselves, maybe never, that I can think of. So I think the light globe goes on sometimes. Sometimes it's a slow burn. You need to have a few little wins and then a few slightly better wins, and then you build into it. Other times you just see people, all of a sudden they come out of a coaching session or a seminar or heard a conversation and they just go to the next level. So we talked a bit about identity last week, which is just similar to this, isn't it, Jeremy, in terms of self-confidence. If you were sitting there listening to this and you're saying, yeah, I'm a bit down on my luck, I've been doing it a couple of years, I haven't cracked anywhere near where I thought I might, I'm facing a lot of rejection and I'm actually privately finding it difficult to deal with that, what are some of the questions or thoughts that come to your mind that could be used if you were with that person in a coaching environment? What could you say to them to have them think differently?
Yeah, great question, John. So this is definitely related to the conversation we had in the last episode around the basis on which we shape our identity around, like our sense of self. And with that comes what we base our sense of self-confidence around as well. So, you know, if we base our self-confidence around external things where there are, you know, many factors potentially outside of our control that may influence that outcome, then we're standing on some shaky ground, such that if there's external factors or if we don't get the outcome, then our confidence just drops away from, you know, directly underneath us. If, however, we're able to shape our identity and self-confidence around things that are more within our control and things that provide more sustainable long-term outcomes, such as those identity values that we talked about in the last episode, such as being a learner, continuing to learn and grow from mistakes, failures, challenges, and such as, you know, not being attached to, you know, my confidence is not based on me being right, but instead it's based on me finding the right answer. And it doesn't need to come from me. It can come from peers. It can come from coaches and mentors. It can come from someone in my team. So in that way,
It was with regard to that. So if I'm prospecting, if I forget the outcome, and you, hopefully the outcome might be you land three or four appointments to go and meet people to think of selling. But if you say my process is that I have 40 conversations a day with people on my database, and I educate them as to what's happening in the market, and I check in to see if they need any help from me or anyone in our industry, you can to a large degree control that. I mean, you can't say everyone's home, but if you make enough calls, you make enough connections. Now, you can't control whether five of those invite you to come and see them next week or not, but you can celebrate the fact that you are a process-driven person who delivers on their promises and loves educating people, and you've had 40 quality conversations. and hence, I guess, build your identity and self-confidence that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. And, you know, I think back to an episode you guys had a few episodes ago that I listened to with that Roy Morgan Trust Survey, where, you know, up top was nurses and doctors, and down towards the bottom was real estate agents, advertisers, and sales car people. And so, car salesmen, rather. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what is the key difference between the top and the bottom, right? Because all of those occupations, they have an information asymmetry, right? Like the nurses and doctors know more about your health and your body than you do. Same with real estate, car salesmen, presumably you know more about the property or the car than the prospective buyer does. But the difference in perception is that with nurses and doctors, someone perceives it's in their best interest to do the best for them, right? To use that information asymmetry to make them feel better at whatever cost that is. Versus there's a public perception with a real estate agent, car salesman, that there's a known information asymmetry, but instead, maybe part based on past experiences, it's not in their best interest to give me the best result. You know, there's a potential for a win-loss outcome here. So if when having those conversations with people through your content or one-to-one, when you're able to bring this energy of really fair exchange and win-win outcomes, then ultimately that will provide the sustainable long-term growth. And I've heard you mention before, John, you know, the best source of business are your old clients, right? And so in this way, when we're training, when we're serving, when we're providing fair exchange, then that is the path to sustainable growth.
So we were just talking about that, yeah. Jordan, and I think Jeremy has just personified, without even knowing Alex, when you meet Jordan, when you deal with him, no matter what your relationship is with him, you will know that he has no self-interest in terms of he is interested in you and what he can do for you, a la a nurse, doctor, and so forth, rather than, you know, what you often refer to, Tony's commission breath, where these agents, you can tell, they're just smiling and being interested in you because they want to get 2% of your net worth or 2% of your house's worth. Whereas with Alex, you know that's not the case. Jeremy, stoicism, is that something that you're familiar with, you follow, you believe in? Tell me about.
It is. Absolutely, John. So, you know, one of my favorite books is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. And he also wrote Ego is the Enemy, you know, very in line with what we're talking about here. And so with Stoicism, the key tenets to it are to really focus on what you can control and accept what you cannot change.
Yeah.
And so that is fundamental to what we've been talking about here. And, you know, with The Obstacle is the Way, this is another one of my favorite quotes, John, is that we will always be presented with people and circumstances in order for us to evolve and grow. And so even in that go on, John.
You'll be proud and pleased to know that we had Ryan Holiday at ARIC 2 years ago. He spoke.
Oh, awesome.
Tom did a great interview with him. And I've got on my desk, one of the coins that you get, and it talks about courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom as four pillars or four key areas.
Mm.
The other thing he talks about is, which you've probably heard of or know very well, Jerry, amor fati, all in love with you. So that talks about the Latin, and the description, which I'll butcher, is fall in love with your current circumstances. Mm.
Yes.
Don't just accept, which is kind of what you're saying there, right, Jeremy? Don't just accept them. Oh, well, yeah, I made nothing this month, but, you know, I just got to live with it because, you know, Stoicism says it. You know, you have to fall in love with the circumstances.
Mm.
And so what am I getting out of that? So now I need to practice frugality, which is something that I wasn't practicing. I was, you know, when the market was flush with funds, I was living like, you know, sort of a horrible, you know, extravagant person, whereas now I'm going to have to tighten the belt and we're going to have to live simply, go for walks in the park rather than go to fancy dinners every night until we rebuild our momentum. So, and the last one is memento mori, which is remember that we're all going to die. Mm. And Holiday, I think, often says that's the most important one to him because at some point we're all gone. So why do we waste time, money, energy, space wishing something was different when it actually is what it is. You can't change it. You can change your response to it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think you know, we love that, didn't we, Troy? I know Ryan Holiday, he's just one of the best speakers ever, I think, we've had at ARIC. And
he's just released a whole new set of YouTube videos as well. So he's interviewed some of the greats, and I think he's done them over a series. But I jumped on YouTube this morning, and there was, I think, 7 or 8 videos that have gone live in the last couple of weeks with interviews that he's done with different people that are in the top of their field in any industry.
That's cool. Jeremy, you I know you're doing it, and you're very kindly talking to us, probably more so in the last couple of weeks at agent level, but you do a lot of work with teams and businesses, small, medium, and large. Can you sort of tell us a bit about, and I know you've mentioned to me the concept of psychological safety, can you just tell us a bit about what you see in businesses that are really working? What's the common denominator, or what are some of the obvious points that you as an expert identify versus what are some of the feelings around a business that's not performing at a high level? Just give us a bit of a sense of what holds it back.
Yeah, for sure. So psychological safety, it's a bit of a strange term, but what I want to actually anchor back to is a couple of years ago, Google, right? Arguably one of the highest performing organizations and teams in the world. They did a wide sweeping research study, 180 teams of, you know, what drove team performance at Google. And they looked at things like, you know, where people went to school and gender and pay and all that sort of, like, the things that you would expect. But what they found above all else, the number one determinant, was psychological safety. So psychological safety, meaning, you know, when you're either in an intact team or when you're relating to others, it's how confident do you feel that you're not going to be judged, put down, punished, humiliated, or whatever the case may be, for, you know, speaking up, asking a question, admitting a mistake. Because in the highest performing environment, that really is the key determinator. You know, that is the gatekeeper, if you will, to all of the other factors of performance. And I like to think about, have you guys seen Lord of the Rings? You know, how a couple of years ago, Gandalf, there was this meme of Gandalf where it's like, you shall not pass, right? Psychological safety is like the opposite of that. It's actually him saying, you know what, you shall pass. Performance shall pass through as long as we have a climate, an environment of psychological safety. And in order to facilitate that, we all need to drop the ego, which is where there's a nice tie into, you know, the conversations we've had so far.
I was listening to a podcast about airplane crashes that happened due to human error. And Jeremy, and it was fascinating that a lot of the times there is no psychological safety. So the junior pilot feels uncomfortable to actually bring up something to the senior pilot. And that silence has often been the contributor to the accident.
That's a perfect example, Tom. And, you know, the godmother of psychological safety research herself, Dr. Amy Edmondson, includes that example in her book called Fearless Organizations. And we can think of that as like a really high stakes environment, right? Where you have something to say, you don't say it, the plane goes down, lots of people die. In a less high stakes environment, she quotes that, hey, you know what, every time someone doesn't speak up, innovation is robbed. And I know you've done some work recently in terms of like ChatGPT, new technology coming in. Anytime a peer, a colleague, someone in the team may have a new insight, but because of ego or bravado or a lack of psychological safety, they don't raise that. Like now more than ever before is where voice is needed because things are happening so fast. So in order to really make sure we're staying ahead of the curve, one of the best things we can do is drop that ego and increase psychological safety in our interactions, in our relationships, and with our teams.
Yeah, I see that, Troy and John. I see great people that have got incredible potential in real estate offices end up leading offices, not for any other reason, but they just don't feel safe in that environment. They it's a very good point. I could just, by the way, I've got to hand it to you. You're an absolute pro, Jeremy. You've gone off and you've done your research. You've sat through a few podcasts. You've listened to the content that we've been doing. That's a positive quality in itself. Preparation, like you haven't just whacked on here at you know, 5 12 p.m. and said, let's just wing this away. You've sat there and listened to a few podcasts and listened to a little bit about what's hot and what's not in real estate. But John and Troy, I am mindful of time because I know we've got a hard finish. Jeremy's got a
appointment. Yep. Because we didn't mention last week, although I think maybe Susan might have put it on the notes. But for those, because we have had people sort of saying, how do we get more about this? Jeremy, you have a website where people can go to?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the best two places will be just my full name, Jeremy Koh, KHOH.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
KHOH, right?
KHOH, yeah, that's right.
Where is that originate from?
From Malaysia. So my dad's family is all in Malaysia, and I'll actually be making a trip over there in a couple of weeks' time.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, and congratulations on making the leap to go out and do it yourself. Scary but exciting at the same time. The bit that you just spoke about, because I did ask you, because I want you to come in and do it with our leadership team. I'll call you in a call it the psychological safety kind of process. You have packaged it up. It's about just under $5,000 for people that, which is great. So $5,000 to make a serious start on creating a better culture and environment. It'll be repaid the first extra listing you get. And you can do small companies as well. If someone's got 8, 10, 12 people, they don't have to have 800 people.
Absolutely, Tom. Absolutely, John. Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is, for those that want a bit more specific advice, maybe private to themselves as leaders or agents that are running a team, for $500 an hour, you'll do some coaching. And if they book a number of sessions, it comes down a little bit. So I just wanted to, because whenever I listen to these things and I hear someone like I've just heard that's bloody brilliant at what they do, I always want to know how I connect with them. And I always like to know, but rarely do people say it, which is the reason I'm saying it, you know, how much is it going to cost me? So it's not going to cost you to avail your company to this great thinking. There's a process in place for under 5,000, which is a quarter of a listing for most people. And also for $500 an hour, if you want to book 5 hours and have an hour a week with Jeremy or a couple of hours to start with and an hour a week. And then I guess I can arrive at those meetings with specific agenda items that I want your help on that are challenging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's exciting. Tom and Troy, any parting comments?
No, listen, over the 2 weeks, you know, we started off and those questions in week one to identify what your values were. Outstanding questions. I think there was about 9 or 10 questions, you know. It's funny, I was talking on the phone with Matt for 1.5 hours yesterday. At Steinway, he's a very great agent. He's actually in the McGrath Network, great, probably in the last 40 years, 35 years, actually, 35 years. We started roughly the same time. It was in another network. He's one of the great agents, and he's living an incredible life. He said to me, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And the reason why he's happiest he's ever been is he's told me that pretty much most of his day involves stuff that he's good at or he likes doing. And that he's constructed it, he's designed it that way. So, and then this week, just talking to you about these other issues, extremely useful, John. I'm glad you ran into Jeremy and the dogs. Did the dogs get on? Do they jump at each other? Did they jump at each other, or they get on?
They got on great.
Okay, I mean, that's a good start. All righty, Jeremy, thank you so much over the last few weeks. We're going to make sure that we'll get your details out there so people can get a hold of you easily. Troy, good to see you. John, good to see you. Signing off to all our listeners. We'll see you next week.